Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. Then he said to the crowd, this is Jesus speaking, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed? And then Psalm 46 in the Old Testament, verses 1 and 2, one of my favorites. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Well, it was about 9 a.m., Tuesday morning, September 11, 2001, when Linda, my bride, reached me on my cell phone. Her words hit me hard. A plane has crashed, she said, into one of the towers of the World Trade Center. She called to tell me, but she also called to hear my voice. Reports weren't clear whether it was accidental or intentional. We prayed together on the phone. Minutes later, she called again, now trembling with the words, a second plane has just hit the South Tower of the World Trade Center. We cried and prayed together again. We knew. The reports kept coming in, the Pentagon, and then Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And what we feared the most was true. It was a long day. That Tuesday became another defining moment in my life and perhaps for you, similar to my remembrance of the assassination of President Kennedy, the type of events which serve to awaken us to the reality of what is truly important. And even though we had no reason to believe that they were in any trouble, we called our children that day in Tampa, which is where they were living at the time, just to hear their voices. I'm sure many of you felt the same way. I spoke with our son Nathan, who shared with me that when he had come home that evening, he had asked Hannah, our then 2-year-old granddaughter and the only granddaughter we had at the time, Hannah, how are you? And she responded, I'm good, Daddy. And as he told me, Nathan began to cry, and I did too. We cried because she was safe, but also we cried for all those innocent people who weren't, people who had died that morning in acts of horrendous and massive cruelty. 2,977 perished and 343 firefighters and over 60 police officers, all of those who saved tens of thousands of others. We cried for their families and loved ones who were left empty and feel the pain of their loss forever. In the days which followed, we cried, but also we saw people everywhere demonstrating the strength of our national character. Hundreds of members of Congress stood together on the steps of the U.S. Capitol and sang, God bless America. We witnessed acts of heroism to save others. We volunteered. We held each other's hands. We flew our American flag, we comforted one another, and we stood in lines to donate blood that others needed or would need. One pastor put it this way, quote, I'll never look at a firefighter the same way again. What is in someone, hundreds of them, to compel them to run into a burning building while everyone else is running out just to save people they don't even know? Their bravery has become a part of our collective national legacy. And he concluded by saying, their bravery dignifies us all, close quote. In his remarks on September 14th, 2001, just 3 days later at the National Day of Prayer and Remembrance, President George W. Bush said, we have seen our national character and rescuers working past exhaustion in long lines of blood donors and thousands of citizens who have asked to work and serve in any way possible. We have seen our national character in eloquent acts of sacrifice. Inside the World Trade Center, one man who could have saved himself stayed until the end at the side of his quadriplegic friend. A beloved priest, New York City Fire Department chaplain Michael Judge, died giving the last rites to a firefighter. Two office workers carried a disabled stranger down 68 floors to safety. Today we feel what Franklin Roosevelt called the warm courage of national unity. End quote. In his address to the joint session of Congress a week later on September 20th, 2001, setting our course for this mission and moment in our history, President Bush reminded us that freedom and fear are at war. The advance of human freedom, the great achievement of our time, and the great hope of every time now depends on us. But my friends, it has always depended on us. And before September 11, 2001, I had moments, as I'm sure you did, where I wondered if we had forgotten that. And in moments like this past weekend, we need to remember those heroes of September 11th and its aftermath, and others before them who answered the call to defend us and this great land and the ideals and the values and the heritage that we hold dear. In the passage from the Gospel of Luke that we read earlier, Christ states the sacrifice required of you and me if we are to claim to be followers of him. Take up our cross and follow him, he says. Deny yourself, lose your life, he says. Stop pushing your own agenda. Set aside self as the center of control and allow God to guide and control so that God becomes the center of our lives. Then we will find our life. Then. Christ painted the picture of the kind of sacrifice he expected from his followers on the road that he called them to walk with him. The very same road of self-denial, of commitment, and self-sacrifice, which he took. Now, with our eyes always focused on Christ as our example and our source of encouragement as we are on the journey with him. Remembering the words of the 46th Psalm, that he is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble, our hope for today and all our tomorrows. But I wonder, as I look around today, if complacency and apathy have replaced commitment and sacrifice. On that day, 20 years ago, those evil attacks on our land really did happen. And today, the reality is that there are those beyond our borders who desire to do it again, to attack us again. And sadly, some attacks seem to be coming quietly and even loudly from within, seeking to undermine our institutions of government, our children's educations, aimed at the very foundations, the very values, the very heritage and fabric of our country. My friends, we did not seek, nor did we deserve, the attacks on our freedoms or way of life on September 11, 2001. America may have lost something on Tuesday, September 11, 2001, but it will never lose the solid foundation of those who have gone before us or our heroic heritage and the God who is always with us. And in moments like this past weekend and the days ahead, the true measure of our nation's strength and each one of us individually and together is found and will be demonstrated in how we stand together and rise together out of the troubles of the day into the hope of every day with our Creator in the lead. We have done this before, and it's time to rise again. In the midst of all the rhetoric which seeks to change and lessen and destroy who we are as a nation and people, it's time to rise again. As we remember all those who lost their lives that day in those horrific acts of cowardice and war, and all those others who gave their lives that day in noble acts of courage, it's time to rise again. For all those who have stood in the gap for us throughout our history, it's time to rise again as we remember and believe again in all that we are, all our foundations, always striving to be better and to be the best we can be as a people, for all people, and as a nation. It's time to remember It's time to rise again. In his remarks at the National Day of Prayer and Remembrance on that Friday, September 14, 2001, the late Reverend Billy Graham called us forth then and forever when he said, underneath the debris is a foundation that was not destroyed. Now we have a choice, whether to implode and disintegrate emotionally and spiritually as a people and as a nation, or whether we choose to become stronger through all of the struggle to rebuild on a solid foundation. And I believe that we are in the process of starting to rebuild the foundation. And Reverend Graham concluded by saying that foundation is our trust in God. How are you, Hannah? I good, Daddy. I good. And that will be true as we continue to move forward together, when we follow his lead and remember our heritage, our foundations, our values, and who we are as one nation under God. And remember always from where our hope comes. It comes from him. This is a time for American heroes. We will do what is hard. We always have. We will achieve what is great. We always have. This is a time for American heroes, and we will reach for the stars. And as we do, unified together once again under him, we will touch the face of God. Let me pray for us. Lord, I lift up all my friends who have called in, all my friends who are listening to this and their families. Lift up this nation. Lift up the leaders, that they would turn to you and be who you want them to be. Lord, help us to remember that no matter what we face, what we go through, our path, our hope is found in following you. Help us together to be you to the world. Poke us, pull us, remind us, walk with us, that you want us to be you, your hands and your feet, your heart to the world. Remind us every day that you are always our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in time of need, our hope for today, for tomorrow, and for all eternity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In your Son's precious name, we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.